it's been 70 years since the invention of a camera that changed the way we captured the world around us.
Hello, I'm Denise Lohr. You know, they say you never can tell what you'll find in a woman's pocketbook. And maybe they're right. Look what I have in mind. It's a new kind of Polaroid land camera in a new size. You see how small and lightweight it is, and it's as easy to use as your compact.
That was actress and singer Denise Lohr talking about a new version of the Polaroid camera in 1961 on the game show I've Got a Secret. The Polaroid was invented in 1948 by Edwin Land. And it's made a lot of difference in the 70 years since. Ann Elsner is professor of optometry at Indiana University. She wrote a piece for The Conversation called 70 Years of Instant Photos Thanks to Inventor Edwin Land's Polaroid Camera. Ann, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks.
Also with us, Kyler Zeleny, photographer, researcher in Canada, and the creator and author of Found Polaroids. Kyler, thanks for joining us.
Hey, good to be here.
And let's start with you. Do you remember the first time you used or saw a Polaroid camera growing up?
Well, I have two fond memories. One is at family holidays where people would pull them out of somewhere and start shooting at everyone, and then we'd have to see what they took, and it was really exciting to see all the different prints, and that was a lot of fun. And then the other was on long trips out to the country to have my father, who was an attorney, take depositions from his clients. And in his front seat, there was always a Polaroid camera, and he'd get that out and take a picture of the person whom he interviews so that the court would really believe that these very difficult to locate and find people were, in fact, giving him the details on a law case.
And the Polaroid, in some ways, played an important part in your career. You won an award this year named after the inventor, Edwin Land. What can you tell us about Edwin Land and his invention?
Well, after I won this award, all sorts of Edwin Land stories kept emerging and coming at me. And I really appreciated all of them. It was really exciting to hear them. But all the stories were from people even older than I am. And from the graduate students in my university, you get just this blank look. Congratulations on your award, who? You know. So I was pretty taken aback that somebody who was so important to our culture and to the principles of optics, which is the field I work in, and to vision science, the other field I work in, the name recognition just wasn't there among the graduate students and even some of my junior level faculty colleagues. Pretty shocking because, you know, when I was a young person, to me, he was as famous as the President of the United States.
We'll get into some of the science with Ann in just a few moments. Kyler, let's bring you in on this conversation now. You started this project collecting found Polaroids and then sharing them and having people write stories about them. What is it that made you take these old Polaroids and build up this story around them?
Yeah, it started as nothing, more of an idea where I would start to see Polaroids in different places, thrift shops. On eBay is a very common space for them to be, and they were being traded as a commodity. People's memories, essentially, were being traded as commodities, and I thought that was interesting, the idea of not knowing who these people were, but very much seeing poses that are very familiar, very often of the family household at Christmas or on a barbecue or a vacation. So I started to think about who these people were because the idea of knowing who they really were was not really reality. So we thought about how we can try to make a fiction around who these people are, rather who they could have been. So collected about 6,000 Polaroids, and then I sort of created this online community where people would create fiction-based, flash fiction-based stories, which is about 250 or 350 words worth of fiction about who they could have been.
Huh. And Kyler, looking at these photos, I get why this project would occur to you, because when you see that old Polaroid, there's something about that format that invites you to think, well, there's a story behind this picture and this person.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think Anne made a really interesting point. She mentioned the idea of knowing the Polaroid form because that was something that she had around in, you know, at the family vacations or at venues. Personally, for myself, I never grew up. I was kind of too much of a millennial to be part of the Polaroid fad of the, especially the with the integral films of the 70s and the 80s, where they were really selling a lot. And so I knew the form. I always knew the form, but I didn't have it in my household. And another thing that's really interesting is we always see it, the materialness of the Polaroid is very important. This idea that we're watching it develop in front of our own eyes, we can pass it around. And very often what I see from my collection and a lot of other images is that there's always Polaroids within another Polaroid. You can see people are taking photos, they're putting them down, they're taking more, they're playing. And that was really one of the magical pieces of the Polaroid, is it was a camera that you could play with.
And can you talk about the revolutionary nature of the Polaroid? Was this film you didn't have to take to get developed? It had these, I learned from reading a piece you wrote, these polarizing crystals that worked in a certain way. Can you talk about a little bit of the science behind the invention?
I would love to, but I have to say first, I find it amazingly ironic that there are digital online pictures of Polaroids.
That's true. I didn't think of it that way.
No, it's really cool. Anyway, so crystals. One of the things that's been important in my career is polarized light. And the names for the parts that you use, you order online from like Thor Labs or somebody, the names are hilarious and they sound magical and mystical. Oh, it's crystals, you know. And they're just very simple mathematical concepts, at least they were back in the 40s. How you can get light to propagate in a direction where the mean vibration is in another direction. So given that a lot of the parts had previously been made from sawed-up pieces of rock, which had been embedded into heavy metal, that were just impossible to work with, you know, easily. You certainly couldn't carry them around easily. And then suddenly, land, based on his freshman chemistry at Harvard, figured out how to embed the crystals from a variety of chemical compositions. He tried several, it seems like, and put them into plastic sheets. So instead of this very cumbersome, hard-to-use, big, quantum thing, we suddenly had a thin film that would do what we needed to do with a light to alter the polarization properties. And suddenly a whole field of investigation opened up because people could use another property of light to characterize chemicals, to do microscopy, all those sorts of things. So the things that we know now just weren't readily possible to even study back then. So that's one thing. So he basically figured out how to get the tiny crystals in the light spacing into the plastic sheet, and he figured out how to do that. Nowadays, we still do that sort of thing, but we also use electronics to change the polarization properties of light, and that's, you know, what you have on your computer screens and watch displays and all sorts of things, you know. The sunglasses were very popular, high-end sunglasses, very popular in Boston, where the light can be really glary, you know, northern lights can be really glary.
I'm gonna jump in. We're kind of losing your line there, Anne. We're talking to Anne Elsner, professor of optometry at Indiana University. Also, Kyler Zeleny, photographer, researcher in Canada, creator and author of Found Polaroids. This year is the 70th anniversary of the Polaroid. Kyler, have you used, you said you grew up in the millennial generation. I hear Polaroid cameras are kind of making a comeback. Have you taken a picture with a Polaroid camera?
Well, there was the bankruptcy case in 2006 when Polaroid was folding. I can't remember if this was the first or the second time. They went through a number of bankruptcies. When I heard this, I jumped on the idea of using Polaroid film because it was a medium that I had not had access to before, and I would not have access to going forward since they were discontinuing it. Just speaking across, you know, the northern border between Canada and the United States, a lot of places automatically were stopped. They stopped shipping to Canadian stores just to save all the film that they thought they would need for the States for the next 2 or 3 years, and actually they ran out within 6 months because there was this hype around the film. So I did, for my own photographer practice, I did find some packs. I found about 50, and I was shooting those in Western Canada as a project. And eventually, you know, you have to be very diligent and careful with how you use those images because they are very much a scarce commodity. And eventually they ran out, or the batteries themselves would stop working. It was never actually the chemicals generally. It was actually the batteries that would be depleted before the chemicals ran. And that was kind of a sad thing, but, you know, we saw another company called, they originally were called the Impossible Project, more recently have rebranded themselves as Polaroid Originals. They bought some of the naming abilities, and they're putting a lot of time and energy into resurrecting the Polaroid film. I mean, Fuji's also in this space, but what's just really interesting is that how iconic that frame is, that square format. And so more recently I've been working a little bit with them, so I have been shooting again, which is nice. And I'm also seeing a lot of people my age are re-engaging with the Polaroid format, which is great.
And briefly, Kyler, if people want to play and write stories, can the public participate in adding stories to these old Polaroids?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's an ongoing project. So the first book came out, and we're already starting to look to do a second one. That can be found. You can find the website, foundpolaroids.com, and there'll be a link there. But the whole idea for me is to kind of create a community around this. And myself is someone who writes more academically and is a photographer. I didn't really want to dive into all the fiction of what this could have been. I thought it was more interesting to invite a community of, and it really has become global. A lot of people are even contributing stories in different languages, and I think that's great.
We'll leave it there. Thanks to our guest, Kyler Zeleny, photographer, researcher in Canada, creator of Found Polaroids. Also with us, Ann Elsner, professor of optometry at Indiana University, also the 2018 recipient of the Edwin H. Land Medal. We've been talking about the Polaroid camera. This year is the 70th anniversary of the invention of the camera. If you missed the Polaroid, tweet us. Tell us about it. Tweet us at Central Time WPR.